Good morning, everyone. It's a hard act to follow, but they were right. Wow, what a great day it is. We're here at the Feast of Tabernacles. We have so much to be thankful for. I was just thinking, parents, as you look at your little children and you think about how proud you are of singing praises to God, and if we transfer that for a moment, just think about our Heavenly Father looking down on us as we sing praises, as we come before Him and worship Him. I can just imagine the smile on His face as His children do that around the world. What a blessing for us to spend 8 days together as His children, to talk about the kingdom of God with people of like mind. It's excellent, isn't it? It is a great day. We need to take advantage of that, not only at this feast, but all throughout the year, to talk about the things of God, to sing praises to Him, and to recognize how much God is pleased with that. Let me share a story to begin with about a lady who enjoyed hiking, and I'll tie that in with the message today. This lady enjoyed walking the Appalachian Trail. That's a popular hiking trail here on the East Coast that runs from Georgia all the way up to Massachusetts. It's roughly 2,200 miles in length. It crosses 14 states. Well, back in 2013, a lady by the name of Geraldine decided to take a 3-day hike on that trail. She was going to go with a lady friend, and she planned it all out. Her husband would meet her 3 days down the road to pick her and her friend up. They took the proper supplies. She had her cell phone. Everything was worked out. So they took off one day in 2013. And on the first day, the friend of hers had an emergency call from back home. And so it was severe enough that the lady friend decided to return home. But Geraldine said, "No, I see the path here. I've got a plan. I'll go ahead on my own." So she headed out. Well, her husband showed up 3 days later, and there was no sign of his wife. He waited. He probably didn't wait very long. Then he notified the authorities. They sent out a search party, and they searched for 5 days, with people gathering together, looking in the woods, going along the trail. Of course, it's a long way, so they didn't know exactly where she was. Well, let me jump forward in time. In 2016, just last year, they found her body. She had kept a journal, though, of every day of what happened. And she wrote in that journal that eventually she died of hunger. And what amazed me is that she lived for 26 days on her own along that trail looking for the path. And the reason in that journal that she gave why she got off that path, she simply stepped off to use the bathroom. She probably just thought, "Well, I need a little privacy. I'll go over here behind some trees." But somehow she got turned around and she could never find the path again. And so she wrote all this in the journal. And you can imagine her husband, after 3 years, reading this and considering what a simple mistake, but it had a tragic ending. And what hit me too is how she survived 3 whole weeks after they stopped searching for her. That would have been hard to take. So why do I share this story with you? It has a spiritual application, and we're asked to walk a path as well. And if we get off that trail, we can lose our way. It's more simple than we realize. Just like Geraldine, she had no idea that the moment she stepped off that path, she would never find it again. It's sad that she didn't survive, but it's even more tragic if we lose our way spiritually. Our only chance of survival is to follow the path that God has provided, to allow Him to nourish us, to feed us as we hunger and thirst for His righteousness. It's vital that we stop and think and realize that we too make mistakes that lead us away from God. It's easy to put a foot off the path that He's asking us to walk. But our loving Father warns us. He's saying, "Seek first the kingdom of God. Look at that. Walk that way. Don't ever get away from it. Make it a priority." I've entitled this message, "The Kingdom is Coming." The kingdom is coming. And the Bible encourages us to walk a certain path. We're told, don't drift. Don't get off that path. Don't get lost. Don't wander. But instead, we should fight every single day to follow Christ as He walked. We need to endure, to continue in that and not give up as we go along the way. All of us in this room know that God's kingdom is on the horizon. I think we can all feel it. Depending on the number of years that you've been in the church, I mean, we read these scriptures, we know it's coming. And the strange part is every single day that we live, it's getting a day closer. We don't know when it's coming, but it's on the horizon. We look at the world conditions. We know that things need to be restored. We have it pretty good in most of our lives, but around the world, people are suffering terribly. And so we need to consider the peace and the harmony that God will bring, the beauty of His way. And I know we all desire to be in that kingdom. Let's begin in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. The prophet Daniel was inspired to write about what God will do in the end time. He tells about four main kingdoms that will come down through the ages, but they will be replaced with a fifth kingdom that this feast pictures, the kingdom of God. He tells us it is coming, and we have to keep our eyes on that. Daniel 2, verse 44, it says, In the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. As Christians, we can't afford to ignore the invitation that God has given to us. He wants us to enter that kingdom. He wants us to prepare for it and get ready. And we must not let our feet wander. If you're like me, over the years, it's easy to take our calling for granted at times, isn't it? We can let down. We can let the pulls of this world affect us a little bit, get our feet too close to the edge of that path, or even step over a little bit and say, well, there's the path I should be on, but I'm right here. I'm okay. I can still see it. So, brethren, we need to be careful with that and realize that if we step off completely, we may not find our way back, just as this lady. She didn't want to lose her life. In fact, she fought hard with all of her heart to find that path. And it was there. She just couldn't find it. And if we lose our way spiritually, we can die spiritually as well. It leads to eternal death. So today I would like to consider three points which are vital for us to stay on the path leading to God's kingdom. We are encouraged through this feast to remember God's plan. He wants us to keep our eyes on the path that leads to life. And yes, I know we believe in the promises of God. Therefore, we must prepare for everything they picture. Because as we've heard throughout these messages and the ones to come, they picture so much. And it's hard to really fathom the beautiful future that God has in store for us. God has a plan to improve what man has broken. What we've polluted, He said, I'll help you clean it up. The war, He said, I'll bring peace. The barren land and the deserts, He said, I'll make them flourish. And you can plant crops and they'll grow and thrive. The homeless and the poverty will turn to abundance and prosperity. The deception that Satan has fostered on this world, God says, I'm going to spread my knowledge about my way of love, my way of peace. I'll spread it around the world. I'll feed the hungry. I'll heal the sick. And so there's so much to come that God wants us to walk a path that leads to all that. We don't want to just think about that. We want to prepare for it and get ready and to think about all that God will do. Let's notice here the end of verse 45 in Daniel chapter 2. It says, the last sentence there says, the dream is certain and its interpretation is sure. Look at the power of God to bring about everything that He has spoken. We shouldn't doubt it for a second. And every day that passes, we're getting closer. We should feel that, and we should prepare for it as we think about that. Verse 47, the king answered Daniel and said, truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret. When we think about this, this is a small thing for God. He can do anything. And so we shouldn't doubt it for a moment. As children, God wants us to see the path that we're to walk on. And he gives us the strength to walk that way. And that's why we're here. He's reminding us about how to get ready. As those children said, wow, you know, this day is great and the kingdom is coming. It truly is. It's as if God is saying, don't lose sight of what I've called you to. Because it's a great reward. It's a beautiful treasure that I've set before you. And you should desire it more than anything. We know that the straight and narrow path that Jesus Christ walked will lead us to that tree of life. We will be able to inherit the promises that God offered us, and we will have an unbelievable future. If we want to receive those promises that God offers, then let's consider this first point. Point number one, increase your vision of the kingdom. Let's begin by turning to Proverbs chapter 29. We know that God wants us to have vision. You know, at times you talk to friends and you hear about automobile accidents. And so many times people say, I didn't see the red light. In other words, their eyes, their vision wasn't good at that point. They were distracted. Other times they go, I didn't even see the car. Or they didn't see me. And you have this accident. And so in life we can get distracted by things. We can lose our focus. And the same holds true for God's way, even in God's kingdom. Proverbs 29, verse 18, I'll read this from the King James Version. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. See how important it is for us to keep our eyes on the kingdom, to look to it? God wants our vision of the future to be crystal clear. Yet we know the pulls of this life can draw us away from what God promises us, what we even know is true. We can get distracted. You know, I was thinking about some of the stories of the early settlers in this country, and when they had their homesteads and they had their barn, and when a blizzard came by in the winter, and some of those blizzards were severe. It's so much so that even though they needed to go out and feed their livestock in the barn, let's say a couple hundred feet or a couple hundred yards away, they could not even see the weight of the barn. It was so thick with snow. And they heard stories about how maybe a neighbor here or there died because they couldn't see the barn, and they headed out for it but missed it a little bit, and they got turned around and they could never find their way. And so those farmers knew they could die, so they would eventually tie a rope, something to guide them, so that even though they couldn't see, they knew that they were headed in the right direction. So we can ask, what has God given us so that we don't lose our way, so that we can keep our eyes on the kingdom? Look at the remainder here of verse 18. It says, but happy is he who keeps the law. So we can tie this in with the vision that God wants us to have. He's telling us, if we want to be happy, that this is a vital step to follow his laws. God knows more than anyone what makes us happy. He created us. He created the laws. And I want us to look at this word keep, keeping the law. The word keep in the Hebrew is shamar, and it means to properly hedge about as with thorns, that is, to guard. So you build something around it that nobody would want to get through those thorns, and you'd protect, let's say, your castle or whatever it is that you would grow these thorns around it. That word means to protect, to attend to beware, to take heed. And that's what God is saying about his law. He's saying, I want you to guard my law. A few other words it means is to observe or to preserve. God wants us to do that. And it says, happy is he who preserves his law, who keeps it and guards it. That's how important it is. And that's like that rope that helps us to get to the barn. God's saying, my law is what helps you to keep your eyes on the kingdom and not get lost. This is how we should view God's laws, as guidelines, as instructions. We need to set our hedge around his law so that we protect it, that nothing in life will allow us to let go of it and to forget about it, as some have in the past. You know, when we're older, we know our physical vision can diminish, but our spiritual vision needs to improve as we get older. We need to grow it the other way. We need to have more clarity for God's kingdom and to see truly what he has pictured. Let me give you a quote by a person named Freya Stark. She said this about happiness. There can be no happiness if the things we believe in are different from the things we do. And so that's why God, in giving us this law for happiness, if we just believe in the law but we don't do it, we're truly not happy. And we're not preparing for the kingdom. Please turn with me back to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 105. You think about how true what that quote said. If we claim to believe in God, but we ignore some of His laws, then our vision is lacking. And that's why God brings us together weekly and in the annual holy days to be reminded of His laws and to continue to encourage us to practice them. So here in Psalm 119, verse 105, this scripture reveals how important it is to study God's Word every day so that we do have that happiness, so that we are on the right path. Psalm 119, verse 105, Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So just like those farmers that had that rope that guided them, God says, My law will guide you to the kingdom. It will light your way. It will show you how to live as humans. And you see all the world, the direction it's going. They don't have that light for their feet. They're walking in blindness. If you imagine for a moment driving on the freeway and all of a sudden turning off your headlights and it's pitch black. I did that once when I was younger. And I did it just for a second. And it was so dark. And I was going like 60 miles down the road. And it was just totally black. And I had no idea where the road was, other than the last second I turned the lights off, I go, there's the line. So I turned it on very quickly, but I thought, that's what God's saying here. When we don't have His law, we're just walking in complete darkness, and you can't see your way. We know that's very dangerous, and we know that we shouldn't drive in the dark, but that's what we do when we ignore the laws of God. We're not allowing God to prepare us for His kingdom. And so we should study our Bibles that show us the way to walk, to help us to see the beauty of His laws, to remind us of the future, the great future that God has in store for each one of us. David mentions in Psalm 16, verse 11, he says that God will show us the path of life. I'll just refer to that. But He shows us. So God is the one we need to look to reveal that path we should be on. And it's easy to get off of it if we're not careful. That Lady Geraldine, she died from hunger. And yet God tells us we're to hunger and thirst after His words, which bring that light. She had no idea how dangerous it was to step off that path. Just think about it. If she had taken two steps off and somebody would have stopped her right then and said, if you go any further, you will never get back here. That never entered her mind. And I think for some of those who have left this way of God, it doesn't enter their mind that as they get a little bit off the path of walking in God's way, they don't realize that they may not find their way back. As we listen to the words of God, it guides us in how to walk so that we can look forward to the promises that God has given us. We should invite God to light up our daily path by taking the time to immerse ourselves into His Word, the beauty of it, and the light that it shines into our life. Because the kingdom is coming. You and I know that. And we don't want to forget it. It is coming. And this is the way God shows us to get ready for it. Let's look at another point that's vital regarding the path we choose to walk. Point number two, only one path leads to eternal life. Only one. And yet Satan's goal is to deceive us into thinking that each one of us can decide the path that is best for us. Like, well, I know. I'm smart enough to figure out, I think I can go this way and kind of go around the laws, and I can still make it there. I mean, haven't we all done that in our lives? To kind of, every time we sin, we're saying something similar to that. And yet, if it's opposite of what God tells us, because He says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. So we have to be careful that we don't choose which path. We have to look to God. We're told, don't lean on your own understanding. So God is saying, lean on me. I will show you the path, where it is, how to walk on it, how to stay on it. Let's next turn to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 10. Proverbs 4 and verse 10. I can ask each one of us, how sure are we of our beliefs? When I was a small child, I heard a man in church say, I will never stop keeping the Sabbath day. Never. I believed him. And yet, many years later, he didn't have anything to do with it. He didn't even remember saying that. But that was implanted in my mind as a young boy, just seeing this adult in church that I looked up to saying, I'll never do that. And so we can say, well, I'll never step off the path. I'll never go down that road. But we can if we're not careful. I've known members to walk away after following this path for 20, 30, 40 years. You probably have seen that too. Let's notice what it says here in Proverbs 4, verse 10. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. So this way, you know, is a path that it's talking about. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. So when you think about this path that God says, I will help you to get on it, stay on it. I will call you and invite you to this path. That's what it takes. Geraldine had no idea of the consequence of leaving that path. And if you think about it, you know, you're out in the wild. She didn't fall and break a leg. That's not what caused her to lose life. She didn't freeze to death as you can out in the woods, but it was a warmer time of year. She wasn't attacked by wild animals. She simply chose to walk off. And I think that's a good example as Christians that once God calls us, he's saying it's your choice of whether you're going to walk away from this or whether you're going to hang on and believe with all your heart. If she had survived, I think her words to us might have been, don't ever take for granted the path that you're walking on. Don't take it for granted. It's so precious. It's what leads to life. I mean, that's where her food source would have been. That's where the safety, that's where her husband was going to pick her up. And we can say the same thing on a spiritual level for each one of us, that God says, stay on that path. Follow Jesus Christ. Verse 18. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Consider that the path we choose day by day will determine whether we're in the kingdom of God. It's our choice whether we step off that way or whether we follow Christ. Verse 25. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Many of us have witnessed members stepping off the path over the years. In 1957, 60 years ago this feast, my parents started keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. That was my first feast. And yet after 40 years, my parents said, I'm going to step off the path. And they walked away. I mean, I couldn't believe it. It's like they taught me that way, and they invited me to get off the path and go that way. And I said, no, this is the way you raised me. This is what I believe in. But that's hard. Back in the 1980s, I had over 70 relatives in the church. And yet, the majority, less than one-tenth, stayed in over the years. They got off the path. And so we need to think about that we're human and that any one of us can do the same. We're not beyond that. We're not so strong that, oh, that won't affect us. No, that's exactly what that man thought that said, I'll never stop keeping God's laws or his Sabbath day. And so it applies to us. So we have a choice. And we know the path isn't easy, but we also know that the kingdom is coming. And God will help us with that. We must be getting ready to fulfill those positions that God has for us. He wants us to grow in maturity. He wants us to overcome. Let's turn back to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 23. I thought about the path that God has asked us to walk. And when we choose to step off of it, aren't we saying, I think there's another way that leads to eternal life. I can go around it. I think there's more than one path. But God says, no, there really isn't. You follow Jesus Christ, that is the way. Psalm 139, verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my anxieties. And so only God can help us to see who we really are and to see the things that we need to overcome so that we don't lose sight and get off that path. It's important to examine ourselves, because if we ignore our faults, we can begin walking the wrong way and not even recognize it. We won't even see that we're just slightly getting off, little by little, year by year. And that has a tremendous effect over the years. Verse 24 says, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. God is willing to do that. And with God's help, we can make it. Because we know that we cannot find our purpose of life on our own. He has to reveal that. Look at the world. They don't understand why they were born. Not yet, anyway. There's only one way that leads to the kingdom of God, and that is through Jesus Christ. In 1 John, or I should say in John 14, verse 6, Christ says this. I'll just refer to it. He says, I am the way. So that he's telling us, this is the path you need to be on. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so Jesus shows us the way, and we must study his words. We must live a life that shows that we follow his example. So I ask the question to each of us, will we follow the path that God tells us to walk on? Or will we step off a little bit and not really think about it? Like, it's not that important. I'm okay with it. It must be all right. No, we need to really think about that. I can ask all of us a question. What if the announcement is given in your lifetime that it's time to flee? You know, that's the path. Let's say we're supposed to go. The Church of God is going to go here and be protected. Would you be willing to walk away? Like, to walk that path and say, oh, no, I want to go. Let's say it was at the feast. I want to go this path. I want to go back to my home. I want to go back to my pets. I want to go back to my job. And I have a vacation planned. You know, that's the easy path, isn't it? But God says, no. If you want to be protected, go this way. That would be hard to do, to leave family and friends. And yet God tells us, forsake all and follow me. And so it's critical that if we want to keep our eyes on the kingdom, that we need to think about these things. And we will be tested whether we really believe in the path that we're walking. We know that Satan is pushing at us. We know our human nature is continually trying to reason around things, even after many years. If we truly look forward to what this feast pictures, in other words, living as the very children of God, then we must follow Jesus Christ. Let's look at one last point. One last point in preparing for the kingdom that we know is coming. Point number three, get ready to teach. This week-long festival reminds us of some amazing promises that will come to pass. And one of those promises is the knowledge of God. And he says it's going to fill the earth. But you and I have a part in that. That's amazing, isn't it? That God wants you to teach others this excellent way. The prophet Isaiah says this in Isaiah 30. We've heard it several times, but he talks about how we will be teachers. We'll be those spiritual leaders to help people and serve in the future. To say, this is the way. You know, in other words, this is the path. Walk this path. And once people have been called, the path we walk now decides whether we'll have the experience to teach that one day. Our daily decisions determine whether we'll be able to be teachers and help others in the future. We know that billions have never known God's way. They've never even seen that path. It's a mystery to them. And yet we know in God's love, he's going to open up everybody's mind in due time. And we will have a part in serving those people, in helping them along that path. If we compare that, our future job, to the jobs we have today, we know that we should be experienced when we go to do a job. In order to do it well, we need to have education to do it. And that's what God is doing for all of us here at this time in our lives. He's saying, gain that experience. Learn of my truth so that you can teach it. And a major requirement will be that we need to know God's laws, but we also need to live by them. And so that example is so vital. That will be necessary before we're allowed to teach God's laws. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. During the time of the apostles, we see that people were letting down. And I think that's the same can be true for us today. If you're like me, if you're human, it's so easy to let down. And let's notice what is written here, Hebrews 5, verse 12. It says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." And so we have to ask ourselves, are we being fed with milk or solid food? Because it's easy just to stay the way we are and not push ourselves, not grow and say, God wants me to learn more. I shouldn't be where I was at 5 years ago. We need to grow in God's grace and knowledge. Will we be ready to share the knowledge of God's way? To help people to get on that path? Maybe some were on it and got off. We can help them back. Others never even have seen the path. And we can say, this is the way. As parents, you have an excellent opportunity to practice this as you teach your children. I mean, some of you might be the best teachers in the kingdom because you work every day with teaching principles. And you do it not only in words, but through example. And that's so critical. Just think if Geraldine had heard a voice saying, this is the way. I think she would just drop to her knees and say, oh, thank you. I'm trying so hard to get on that path that leads to life, and I can't find it. And that's what you and I have been offered right now. We're on that path, and we have to make sure we don't get off of it. In Proverbs 12:28, it says, in the way of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death. That is the way that we need to walk. That's the way of the future, the way of God, the way of righteousness. We don't need to go hiking and get lost in order to understand this. We can learn from the example of others of how critical it is to walk that way every single day. Not just here at the feast, but every single day, whether you're at work or school, whether you're raising your children or you're retired, to practice getting ready for the kingdom, because it is coming. Let's conclude in Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. Romans 13, verse 11. Paul here is warning us to use our time wisely. And I think there's a lot of old timers here, and you know how quickly life goes by. And how all of a sudden you go, how did I get to be this age? And I've got great-grandchildren or whatever it is. Time just flees before us. And so what Paul writes here is similar to Peter's words, where he asked, what manner of person ought we to be? We need to ask that of ourselves continually. If we believe the kingdom of God is coming, we have to be doers. Romans 13, verse 11. And do this. And so it was talking about walking in God's law, living that way. And so he says, do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. That statement has always been true. To every Christian that has ever read it, it was their time to get ready when God called them and they had their lives. And so, brethren, this feast is a memorial of what God plans to do. And we should be excited about that as we're reminded of the plan of God and His excellent plan and His love that we can serve under a righteous and a loving God. Not many of the leaders we see today that don't even take care of their people, but a holy and righteous God. And how wonderful it will be when that time comes when all will keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Your neighbors, your children, your grandchildren, your friends, those in prison. I mean, you could just name every group of people from every age, and they will learn about this day because we can help teach them of God's excellent way. Therefore, we must use each day, each moment, because the kingdom of God is getting closer and time will run out. If we want to be a part of what this feast pictures, then let's increase our vision of the coming kingdom of God. Let's remember that only one path leads to eternal life. Because once we're invited, we need to follow Jesus Christ because he is the way, the only way. We need to strive to put our whole heart into learning God's way so that we're ready to teach, we're excited about it, and we have the knowledge of God's ways filling us that we want to just pour it out and help people and say, let me explain to you what God has in store for you, how beautiful it is, how wonderful it will be for everyone. And so no matter what age you are, we all want to hear the statement by Christ, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. We need to be preparing for that in order to hear that, though. We know we're very blessed to know God's plan for all of mankind, that he desires for every single human who has ever lived to be in his kingdom. And we're just the first little segment, the first fruits that he's getting ready so the rest can have the opportunity that we have now. We can learn from Geraldine's mistake, where she took her eyes off that path that led to physical life. And we as Christians need to think about that and say, yes, it is possible that we can take our eyes off, but with God's help, we can continue to walk it, and we can even get more right down the middle of that road instead of on the edge where we get into that ditch or this ditch. God is saying, walk this way. Prepare. Seek the kingdom. We know that God will nourish us. He will direct us. He will guide us. And he will strengthen us as we continue to walk daily in that way. Let's be careful to follow Jesus Christ, because we know the kingdom is coming, and God will offer everyone eternal life that continues to stay on that path.